to the Divided Kingdom. It's April 2nd, 2024, when we're coming to you live on the Global Star Network. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Coppett Caverly.
We've concluded our very crucial set of programs on China, exposés of pre-invasion plans over the last 4 years. If you missed those very crucial warnings, visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and go to the listening archives for the March programs. March 6th, 7th, 13th, 14th, and 21 are some of the key ones. Tonight, we go into the April news blitz shocks. Some of you, many of you, potentially, will have our new book, COVID and Coming Chaos. You will know from a chapter late in the book how fires and explosions destroyed a huge number of food production plants in the U.S. and worldwide. The globalist goals of engineered starvation and one-world tyranny government are looming large. And now, the biggest news blitz shock of all is our central story tonight. The Baltimore Francis Scott Key Bridge demise.
Yes, Lou. And as you and I have detailed, with the illegal aliens flooding our country, Catholic Charities, Annunciation House, and the Jesuit Church in El Paso have all been keenly assisting the immigrant influx, the illegals' takedown of America. And during COVID, the man that filmmaker Christian J. Pinto labeled as at least pro, if not complete, Jesuits, Joe Biden and Anthony Fauci, indeed played their roles in the COVID vaccine holocaust. Lou and I tell all the truth without compromise in our new book, COVID and Coming Chaos. And it looks like perhaps some judgment of God is falling on some people who betrayed us and would not tell the truth without compromise. They are not prospering. And we're not bragging. We are just saying humbly that it was a miracle. It's God's book. We told you before how we were just going to put all this information into file folders, and then maybe Lou would punch some holes into them. And, you know, there we would have some kind of an amateur book. But God wanted the best for his book, including those wonderful color pictures. One of them shows judgment on Pfizer, a plant that was destroyed. One of them shows the Vatican vaccination coin. And we've just been hearing again from Brother Bruce's latest news. Apparently the Pope is again demonizing those people who are anti-vaxxers. So this relentless momentum to depopulate the planet will just not slow down. And so Lou and I tell these important facts that we gleaned during those years. It's an historical record, and we are pleased that more and more of you are writing to us to request the book. And we do ask that you will support us, too. Lou just ordered 100 more books in faith. So if any of you want to help Lou directly with a money order or perhaps some cash, you can write to him at Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that's Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And if you want the book, you just say, please send us your new book. And if you can, put a $5 bill in or any other donation, it would be fine to cover the shipping. And if some of you want more books, a gentleman just asked for 8 books. He's going to bless his family and friends. And, of course, he gave us a little donation, but that donation is not required. We know that God is blessing us. A number of you have written to us later and said that you were blessed by the book, the information, and so far God is keeping us afloat financially. But if you can help Lou, that would be great. If you want to write a check, at this time we need WWCR, more than Global Star Communications. You can write a check of any amount to WWCR. And again, we emphasize that don't be left behind, because you will be surprised at the quality of this book. We were. You know, it came here, Lou, and I couldn't look at it for a couple of weeks to really look at it as a book. it was sort of painful. I thought maybe I will be disappointed, or I just couldn't look. And when I finally did, it was as though I had new eyes, a reader who had never worked with it the way you and I did feverishly in June and July of 2023 with vicious opposition from Satan. And when I opened it, I thought, why, this is a wonderful book. The pictures are so wonderful. And we had a wonderful team who worked with us from Southwest Radio Church there to get those pictures for us. So again, we hope that you will get in touch and ask for a book. Luke Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And now, when we're getting to this newest big shock, and as I talked there about the Jesuit role, please keep Christian J. Pinto in your deepest prayers. He's been facing all kinds of financial attacks and illness in his family. He's trying to complete his new DVD on the Jesuits in America. Of course, we hope to interview him when he is finished. And so now we have to think again about another Roman Catholic ministry. You know, I mentioned there the aid from Catholic Charities and that Texas Church in El Paso and Annunciation House, but there apparently is another one, the Apostleship of the Sea. And so we'll get into this Gateway Pundit article shortly. And this, again, we're seeing details a Roman Catholic ministry in a pre-launching kind of nice little shopping tour, a courtesy shopping tour given to the crew and the captain of the Delhi cargo ship. Now, wasn't that really nice, how they were given this little shopping trip? But we're reminded, listeners, of how Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama disappeared from sight at the time of the Bilderberg meeting in Chantilly, Virginia in 2008. We understood later from people who could get into the Bilderberg inner sanctum that Hillary, no wonder I stumble over her name. Lou, there's some names you and I can't say. We try so hard. Well, anyway, Hillary was allegedly told the word that Barack would become president first. She would have to wait her turn. Were these crew, and there again, you know, we're always thinking of the New World Order. It's like kingmakers. See, I was thinking back to Hillary and or Barack. They were told by the kingmakers what they would do next. No, this is the crew members. Were these crew members and the captain of the Dali taken to Walmart to give them certain instructions, you know, how to fail nicely? We don't know. So here's Gateway Pundit Anthony Scott, March 27th. Captain and crew of Dali cargo ship were taken to Walmart before ship crashed into Key Bridge. The Baltimore Sun reported the captain and the crew of the Dali cargo ship that crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge were taken to a local Walmart to shop before their departure on early Tuesday morning. The Apostleship of the Sea director, Andrew Middleton, told the press he took the Dali captain and crew members to shop at a local Walmart over the weekend. Apostleship of the Sea is a Catholic ministry that helps crew members of international ships run errands, go shopping, and perform other tasks. Post 9/11 security measures require crew members of international ships to be escorted through port areas by vetted persons. Middleton told USA Today that as soon as he heard the news that the cargo ship crashed into the Key Bridge, he messaged one of the members on WhatsApp and asked if everyone was all right, to which the crew member responded, everything was okay. Per USA Today, the crew of the stranded container ship, Dali, have reported they are okay and awaiting rescue after the collision that caused a portion of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore to collapse, according to a seafarer's chaplain who took them shopping on Sunday. Andrew Middleton said he took the ship's captain and a crewman shopping at a nearby Walmart to buy personal items and snacks before their departure. Wasn't that humanitarian, Lou? This is Elizabeth.
Very kind, yes. Very kind.
Back to the article. Since 9/11, international crews have to be escorted by a vetted person through most port areas. And Middleton said it's fairly common for crews like the Dallas to request assistance from the Apostleship of the Sea, Baltimore, Stella Maris International Seafarers Center, where he is the director. The group is part of the Catholic Church's Archdiocese of Baltimore. Middleton woke up Tuesday morning to the shocking news. The ship hit the bridge, and he immediately messaged one of the crewmen via WhatsApp. My question to him was, is everyone okay? And the answer was, yes, sir, everyone is safe, Middleton told USA Today. The latest update on the tragic bridge collapse is that the U.S. Coast Guard stopped searching for the six missing construction contractors working on the Key Bridge at the time the bridge collapsed. Authorities have presumed they are dead.
And here's a little background on the Port of Baltimore. This is from Hal Turner. Baltimore is a big port. The port's private and public terminals handled 847,158 autos and light trucks in 2023, the most of any U.S. port for the 13th straight year. In 2023, the port ranked first in the nation in handling automobiles, light trucks, farm and construction machinery, as well as imported sugar and gypsum. The port ranked second in the country for exporting coal. In 2022, the port ranked sixth for importing coffee, 119,000 tons worth $609 million. Overall, the Port of Baltimore is the 11th most important port in America. It lies close to Chesapeake Bay. In fact, it's only a few miles down the river, the Patapsco River, which goes through Baltimore and empties into the Chesapeake. And it's close to the eastern whole section of the U.S., making it one of the busiest ports and industrial centers in the region. Along its 72 kilometers shoreline lie five public and 12 private terminals handling general merchandise, dry and liquid bulk commodities, containerized cargo, etc. And he gives a few more statistics, which I'll just brush over. And it has the Port of Maryland, I think he means the Port of Baltimore.
I think give some more statistics.
Okay. It handles 37,850,000 tons of cargo.
Oh, Lou, this ain't your neighborhood stream.
No, no, this is a huge port. And I never realized this myself. The two of us lived not so very far away from Baltimore for many years. But it never sank into me that they handled this much cargo.
No, no, this was a revelation.
And it has the deepest harbor in Chesapeake Bay. It's also closer to the Midwest than any other East Coast port, and it's also just an overnight drive of one-third of the country's population. And it's responsible for 25% of the country's coal exports. And now...
Now, there's a big one. The WEF would love this.
Yes.
Because we must get rid of that ugly demon fossil fuel.
That's right. Just because we don't have anything to replace it, we won't worry about that.
And just because it takes a lot of fossil fuel to produce the electric cars, we just ignore that.
That's right. And the simple fact is, at the moment, there isn't a capacity among the electric plants in this country. If all the cars were suddenly to become electric, the whole thing would collapse. There just isn't the generating plants to produce that much electricity.
The house built on sand, that's partly what we're talking about tonight, isn't it?
It surely is,
house
yes.
Built on sand.
And now we move on to another article from Natural News by Ethan Huff. And this appeared on March 27th, just a few days ago. More details, mysteries surrounding the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. A mass casualty incident is being reported after the Francis Scott Key Bridge, also known simply as the Key Bridge, in Baltimore collapsed after being struck by a large container ship in the early morning hours of March 26th.
Lou, we're going to interrupt now. Perhaps somewhere in the script we talked about the meaning of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, but with cancel culture, and maybe people just began to abbreviate it, just the Key Bridge, our historical memory is fading. Al Cuppet said not to get rid of the old landmarks, and we can't get rid of it. You are better at quoting things than I am, but we know that the real Francis Scott Key was standing there as the battle raged, and he was watching our flag, and maybe you can quote a little bit about it.
Well, yes, he was the composer of the words that are now our national anthem, O Say Can You See by the Dawn's Early Light. Well, what was that all about? That was, as Elizabeth just said, in the War of 1812, the British had sacked Washington, went up the Chesapeake to Baltimore, but they were beaten back at Baltimore. And that's why Francis Scott Key closed that with the words that our flag is still there. And that was Fort McHenry. And, of course, that's why this bridge was named in his honor.
And, yes, and so you see it's a beautiful, wonderful, patriotic, historical memory. And we must bring that out because it probably was no accident if the bridge problem was no accident. This was no accident that that name happened to be on that bridge.
That's right. And it's good to get the whole name because there is a key bridge, also a famous one in Washington, D.C., that goes over the Potomac.
Excellent background information you gave us. Let's pick up the story now again.
Yeah, so to put it all together, at 1:27 a.m., the bridge, which crosses the Patapsco River, fell piece by piece, all in a row, after the container ship issued a mayday while traveling at 9 miles per hour. Reports indicate that the vessel lost power before colliding with a section of the bridge's support columns, bringing basically the entire thing down onto the ship and into the river. And here we have a quote from the Baltimore Sun. As the vessel struck the bridge in the middle of the night, it caused a din that could be heard ashore and immediately toppled an essential mid-Atlantic thoroughfare into the frigid waters. Several cars were knocked into the Patapsco River, and as of Tuesday around 11 a.m., authorities were searching for 6 construction workers who had been repairing potholes in the bridge. 2 others were rescued, one who was briefly hospitalized, and another who declined to go to a hospital. Extensive rescue efforts were ongoing. And I should mention, by the way, I don't think this came up in any of our articles, this bridge is a 4-lane, 2 in each direction bridge, a considerable bridge. It's over a mile long, and it's the bridge for the Baltimore Beltway. So you can see that that is a major highway thoroughfare, and I think we'll have a few statistics on that a little bit later on how much vehicular traffic it carried.
If there, this is Elizabeth again, if there was New World Order sabotage involved, you know, they always try to have a multi-purpose event. You know, strike as many ducks down as you can to the
good
left
point.
And right, not just with the goal immediately before you.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So not only did they cripple the port for the time being, they also crippled this highway, which will take years probably to rebuild. And following the incident?
Now, let me ask you.
Yes.
In other words, the people who use the Baltimore Beltway, then are they rerouted off onto side roads or what?
Yes, anyone that uses that eastern portion of the Baltimore Beltway near Dundalk, Sparrows Point, where there may still be some steel plants. It used to be a very big steel area.
Yes, I almost went there, except for a very kind man while I was having a job interview. The person taking me to the interview from our little town in Pennsylvania was told not to mention to him that I had another interview, and he blurted it out. And the man said, oh, you'd be so much better to take that job down there than the one I'm offering because you would be professionally ahead. And, of course, that was the area that Lou moved into. See, God had his hand on getting us together. Had I been up there in Dundalk, you would have never met me. We wouldn't be talking to you listeners right now. And we do witness to our risen Savior, and we thank a number of you for sending us Resurrection Day messages of hope, encouragement. And I thank you listeners for praying for me. My health is improving. I'm heading back toward normal. And we thank you again for your long prayers for Lou. We thank you for praying for the Pennsylvania doctor. We were worried about him. We hadn't heard from him in a couple weeks, and now we did. So we're relieved. Keep him in your prayers. Keep Dr. Dennis Cuddy in your prayers. We do not think that he is doing very well. But we cannot force our ideas onto people. We cannot change things that only prayer probably can change. So do pray that he will be strengthened and that he will resist the evil that may be surrounding him. Thank you, listeners. Now, go ahead, Lou.
Yes, to answer your question, Elizabeth, if you're going, let's say, from New York City down to Washington or Baltimore, it wouldn't be an inconvenience because most of that traffic goes through one of two ways. Either they go straight through the city, which is what I used to do in the old days when I'd come back down to Maryland from visiting my parents in the Boston area, going through one of the tunnels, the Harbor Tunnel, that's this name, Baltimore Harbor Tunnel, or the Fort McHenry Tunnel, or they can take the west side of the Beltway. But that's a long way around. And for those unfortunate enough to want to go from, say, Dundalk all the way around, it would be an enormous detour.
Interesting. Well, now let's pick up the story of this questionable major incident.
Following the incident, back to the National News article, following the incident, states of emergency have been declared by both Mayor Brandon Scott of Baltimore and Maryland Governor Wes Moore.
And we have to interject again. Governor Wes Moore is a newer governor, but he is a Rhodes Scholar, and we do know that Cecil Rhodes' plan was for the one world government. So we do hope that we are not looking at a conspiracy here.
We hope not. But we have to keep that in the back of our minds, of course. Back to the article, prior to the collision, the container ship's crew notified authorities that a power outage had occurred aboard the vessel. This Mayday warning allowed the Maryland Transportation Authority, police, on the highway above, to stop many cars from driving onto the bridge just moments before the catastrophe. And I should add, it's a good thing, too, that it happened at that time of the middle of the night. Or if it had happened at rush hour, goodness knows how many casualties there would have been. Getting back to the article, these people are heroes, commented Governor Moore at a morning news conference. They saved lives last night. As of this time, there is no indication that the collision was a terrorist attack, at least according to official sources. Governor Moore promised the world that the bridge will be rebuilt, but that it is too early to announce how much it will cost or how long it will take. And I'll interject, I saw in one internet site that they estimated it could be $2 billion to replace it.
Now, this is another thing. If this is part of a conspiracy, Maryland was a state that whatever else he did with the Operation Warp Speed, which we abhorred, Governor Hogan was a businessman. And he ended up his term with Maryland having a large surplus of money. A big rainy day fund. Now, the globalists want to remember WEF founder Klaus Schwab. They want to reduce us to having nothing by 2030. So they want to destroy the pension systems. They want to destroy everything financially. So this could be a big step in the direction that they want. Go ahead, Lou.
President Biden also gave an address indicating that the federal government, meaning United States taxpayers, will pay for a new bridge. Biden said, quote, I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time, but the people of Baltimore can count on us. Though, to stick with it, every step of the way.
Yes, they'll stick it to us. You
yeah,
a little slip meant
like
something.
It, didn't it?
Yes.
Until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt, unquote. Now, here's something, too, I saw, and I think this was on an official Maryland website, so it can be trusted. It's interesting that the entire Baltimore Beltway is Interstate 695, just like the Washington Beltway is Interstate 495. But the bridge itself, that little small section of the Beltway, is not considered an interstate. And I wondered why.
Hmm.
Why did they make that designation? It's only a Maryland state route. So that's a curious thing.
What, you mean just the part that led to the bridge?
Yeah, and the bridge itself, not an interstate highway. So therefore, the federal government doesn't have the same kind of responsibilities.
Oh, my gosh. Could this be like the planning for the COVID vaccine that they documented going back to even the year 2002 or so when they were working on various kinds of COVID things? Oh, my. We don't know. But we do know that World War III was projected back in 1871, I believe it was, when the Freemason head Albert Pike wrote to Giuseppe Mazzini, and they outlined what they wanted to have with the World War III. Well, we must move on, though.
Yes, and finishing up, strangely, now this really struck my curiosity here, this little paragraph. Strangely, just a few hours before the collision, Baltimore Fire Department Chief James Wallace said that local authorities had detected the presence of vehicles in the water using sonar technology.
Mm.
Now, let me interject. The first time I read that, I thought, oh, those were vehicles that fell off the bridge
yes.
due to the collision. But this says just a few hours before the collision.
There, so we're getting a little hint, aren't we? And we learned later, we first heard this from aging broadcaster Hawk, and please pray for him to be miraculously healed from lung cancer, listeners. He talked about the radio traffic being cut off to the state police. See, it looks like we're hearing things. We're hearing things that are dubious. Well, go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, so Coast Guard briefing report states concerning the vessel losing power that, quote, a harbor pilot and assistant were on board and reported power issues, multiple alarms on the bridge, and loss of propulsion prior to the incident, unquote. Mayor Scott at a news conference stated, this is a tragedy that you can never imagine. It looked like something out of an action movie, unquote. The cargo ship in question, called Dali, D-A-L-I, bore a Singapore flag, which depicts an eclipse not unlike the solar eclipse that will cross the United States on April 8th. Its pilot will now undergo drug and alcohol testing as part of an investigation. The Key Bridge was a substantial one, spanning 1.6 miles in length and marking a key part of Interstate 695.
Lou, I know we keep interrupting, but you keep giving us such bombshell nuggets.
I know.
What, this was the flag, the pennant of the ship? That had sort of a solar eclipse sign on it?
Well, it says it's the, yes, it bore the Singapore flag.
Singapore flag.
And that depicts an eclipse, not unlike the solar eclipse that will cross the United States.
And now, you know, God Almighty sometimes gives us signs, the good signs and the bad signs and warning things.
Yes.
We know that that is absolutely true. There are symbols. Of perhaps of coming judgment. We'll be getting into a lot more of that with the eclipse information. We may have a little tonight, but mostly tomorrow night. And we want to remind listeners of shortwave that if you haven't heard yet, because of the time change, we are not on 5935 anymore on Wednesday evenings. We're on 9.350 megahertz. 9.350 megahertz at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and then, of course, our regular 4.840 megahertz on Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Lou, what else?
Now, to wrap it up, it says the Key Bridge was a substantial one, spanning 1.6 miles in length and marking a key part of Interstate 695. The bridge carried more than 12.4 million commercial and passenger vehicles in 2023. And that's about 34,000 vehicles per day. And more related news about disasters across America can be found at the website chaos.news.
And Great Game India, March 27th, had this headline. Cargo ship that hit Baltimore Bridge was also involved in Antwerp collision in 2016. According to data from Vessel Finder and the Maritime Incident Archive shipwreck log, the cargo ship that collided with the Baltimore Bridge, named the Dali, was also involved in a collision in Antwerp in 2016. The same ship that struck and destroyed the Baltimore Francis Scott Key Bridge on Tuesday also collided with another vessel in 2016 while it was departing the port of Antwerp, Belgium, sending people and cars flying into the water. According to data from Vessel Finder and the Maritime Incident Archive shipwreck log, the Dali, a cargo vessel measuring 948 feet, 290 meters long, and capable of carrying 10,000 containers, was departing from the container terminal in Antwerp en route to Bremerhaven. During its departure, the ship's bow is said to have veered, resulting in the stern scraping against the quay wall, causing significant damage to several meters of the hull. The ship moored in Durgankdok, Belgium, and was later seized by officials. there were no recorded negative pollution effects or injuries. The event was purportedly attributed to the ship's master and pilot, while Vessel Finder reports that the weather was fine at the time. What crew members were on board the ship is unknown. At the time, Vessel Finder reported that the ship was hired by Maersk, M-A-E-R-S-K, but owned by the Greek business Ocean Bulk Maritime, having been built in South Korea by, is that Hyundai?
How do you Hyundai, I think.
Hyundai Heavy Industries in 2025. You used to sell cars, and I could never pronounce
right.
that. How do you do it again? Hyundai.
Hyundai, I think.
Okay, back to the article. The Dali had 22 crew members when it was registered in Singapore, according to the Maritime and Port Authority of Singapore on Tuesday. Maersk said in a statement that all of the crew members were Indian, but none of them were employees of the company. It stated that Synergy Group, a charter vessel firm, was in charge of operating the ship. Now, I think that that meant on Tuesday, this latest incident, you see, that it was still being manned by crew members who were Indian, but none of them were employees of the company. Now, that makes us think of hired mercenaries, you know, like in the Iraq War, Blackwater, and all of those groups. We wonder, and we wonder what Synergy Group is. Synergy.
Mm.
You know, that's
yeah.
like things being collated together, synergy. Isn't it kind of the meaning of
so.
That?
I think so, working together, yeah.
Right, all this consolidation that we see. We have to interrupt. We've been talking about these long, low buildings with almost no windows where they're going to house the people into 15-minute cities, and they're going to be on areas called commons. Well, we saw the latest one in Talbot County, Maryland. We went by, and this was the first I had seen this large expanse of land cleared, ready for this big, shall we say, we wonder, euthanasia building for the future, for the elderly, for the handicapped, for the mentally ill. Let's look at Canada, for the drug addicts, even. Well, Lou, I didn't say to you, but you know when we first came to Maryland, we were struggling to have teaching jobs, so we sold World Book encyclopedias. And we went to one of these little, and I thought at that time they were rather charming, little townhouses built together, weren't they?
Yeah, they were nice-looking little places.
Not too different from some very nice ones that were near where we lived in Greenbelt, Maryland. Now, all that has been raised, see, and I wonder, where did the people go? Just like in Maui, the missing children, did all these people, did Talbot County, Maryland, suddenly find homes for them? We don't know, but we don't think this augurs well for what's coming to that land. So we have to look at all of the prongs, the multi-pronged New World Order. And again, we thank you, listeners. We thank Marjorie, especially, for her great Christian love to us and her help to us. We thank all of those of you who are helping us. And you won't find news like we're giving you tonight without compromise anywhere else. Please keep us on the air. Do whatever you can do and send it to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Now back to this conclusion here of this article. The Dali struck the Baltimore Bridge on Tuesday, causing about 2.6 kilometers, 1.6 miles of it to collapse, and several cars to plummet into the Patapsco River below. During a pre-dawn press conference on Tuesday, officials stated that at least 7 persons were being looked for, that 2 of them had been rescued, one of whom was in critical condition. Did we hear later, Lou, were they the rest never found?
To the best of my knowledge, 2 of the bodies were recovered of the dead, and I think the 4 more are still missing, the last I knew.
All right, then let's move on to you.
All right, and now pay careful attention to the suspicious censorship, malfunction, and cover-up indicators in the following headline. This is from the Gateway Pundit. NTSB releases data on Dali's black box, reveals no CCTV footage found. That's because closed-circuit TV. Sensors cut off and turned back on. Voice recorder disrupted by background noise. This was by Anthony Scott, March 27th. As the Gateway Pundit reported earlier, the National Transportation Safety Board, NTSB, Chair Jennifer Homendy announced the voyage data recorder, known as the Black Box, was recovered from the Dali cargo ship that crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge early Tuesday morning. On Tuesday evening, Homendy and NTSB investigator Marcel Muse held a press conference to reveal the data on the Dali's black box, also known as the Voyage Data Recorder, VDR. NTSB investigator Marcel Muse revealed that there were about 6 hours of VDR, and I think it should say on the tape, and included a timeline of midnight to 6 a.m. Before revealing the data on the VDR, Muse warned that the quality of the voice recording and radio data was hard to comprehend due to background noise. Muse then shared that the, quote, VDR sensor data ceased recording. The VDR audio continued to record using the redundant power source, unquote. And he added, VDR resumed recording sensor data, and during this time, steering commands and rudder orders were recorded on the audio. And he continued, the ship's pilot made a very high-frequency radio call for tugs in the vicinity to assist. About this time, the pilot dispatcher phoned the Maryland Transportation Authority duty officer regarding the blackout, unquote. He concluded his statement by adding that, quote, the ship's speed over ground was recorded at just under 7 knots. From this moment to approximately 1:29 in the morning, the VDR audio recorder sounds consistent with the collision of the bridge. Before the content of the black box was revealed, Omendi noted a group of operations and engineering groups boarded the Dali to do a walkthrough of the ship's bridge and engine room to find any electronic recorders, cameras, or closed-circuit TV footage, but could not find any. And per the Washington Post, the alarms first sounded on the Dali around 1:24 a.m. Tuesday, an NTSB official said in a Wednesday evening news conference, citing preliminary information from the container ship's voice data recorder. About a minute and a half later, the ship's pilot used a high-frequency radio to request assistance, helping to alert the on-duty Maryland Transportation Authority officer. The pilot called for, quote, tugs in the vicinity, unquote, which help vessels leave the port and get into its main channel. Before the Dali hit the bridge, it had no tugs. 30 seconds later, the pilot ordered the ship's anchor to be dropped. And this is Lou commenting. Veteran Patriot broadcaster Hawk commented how important these missing tugboats were, boats that could have towed a ship safely past the bridge. And Marcel Muse, the lead investigator, said, quote, the tugs could have given additional steering commands. At 1:27 a.m., the pilot reported that the Dali had lost all power and was approaching the bridge, Muse said. At the time, there were two Maryland Transportation Authority units at the scene because of the ongoing construction work, and those units shut down all lanes of traffic on the bridge, according to Muse. He said the voice data recorder captured, quote, sounds consistent with the collision, unquote, at 1:29 a.m. Around this time, the lights on the Key Bridge also went out.
The Gateway pundit, Jim Hoft, March 27th. Here's the headline, Laura Logan on Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. Quote, everyone knows this is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor in the United States, end of quote. Early Tuesday morning, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, collapsed after a cargo ship collided with a support column, causing the bridge to collapse. The Francis Scott Key Bridge is a significant commuter route carrying the Baltimore Beltway, I-695, over the Patapsco River at the southern end of the Baltimore Harbor. In the video below, the ship's lights can be seen going off and then on again as it appears to pass by the support column. Suddenly and inexplicably, the lights on the cargo ship are turned back on as the ship appears to turn toward the support column and hits it head on. Investigative reporter Laura Logan reported Tuesday that this was not an accident. It was a brilliant, quote, strategic attack, end of quote. Later on Tuesday, Laura Logan joined Steve Bannon on the War Room to discuss the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Steve Bannon, who served in the U.S. Navy, was also skeptical of the official narrative that was established by Daylight yesterday that, quote, it was an accident. Steve Bannon asked Laura about her investigation.
These are Steve's words. You see, there may be something. Here's the other thing that concerns me. Why they run to the mic? You had McCabe on This Morning at Sunrise on CNN saying, it's not terrorism. It's not terrorism. It's not. It might not be terrorism. But why do you come to the mic right away? We need facts. We need empirical evidence. We need an investigation. What is your investigation telling you? These are Laura Logan's words. Well, I have a better question for you, Steve. Why are you coming to the mic telling the country that it's not terrorism when your own intelligence agencies are telling you it is? And I know they are because I didn't make this up. These are not my words. I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally, from critical infrastructure in the Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies. They know there's no other. This is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States. For those people who think this is just a river, this is in Baltimore. What does that matter? You don't know anything about what you're talking about. The I-94, and I think that should have been I-95 corridor, on the eastern seaboard is literally what connects the north and south. And when I talk about hazardous materials, this is a brilliant, well-planned strategic attack on one of the most important supply chains in the United States of America. The only other one is on the western side of California. That's the only one that's busier. And what you have done, you have now shut it down. And when I talk about hazardous materials, what are we talking about here? This is refined fuels, right? This is propane gas, diesel. This is fuel. This is flammable materials. This is oversized loads, nitrogen, chemicals. Everything that you need for your economy to move has literally been shut down for 4 to 5 years. And this is Lou now. Broadcasters commented that every day the bridge was not functioning. And I'll interject, I think that was the governor of the state of Maryland saying this, that $10 million would be lost in the goods that couldn't be delivered, in the jobs that many of the people in the Baltimore area depend upon. What do you do for jobs if there's nothing to unload from the ships? So you see, this is a very, very, very big thing.
Gigantic, isn't it?
Yes.
And is that what you have there on that?
That is, yes.
Laura Logan concluded in this article, how did they do it? They knew that they had to target one of two main anchor points on that bridge. There are two load-bearing pylons that any structural engineer can identify that are on the end of each side of the bridge. These are the ones that are thicker and stronger than anything else on that bridge. When you hit one of those pylons, when you take that out, the reason you see so much of that bridge collapse instantly is you just brought 50% of the span of that bridge coming, crumbling down. And what you don't see beneath the surface of the water seep is absolutely catastrophic. It is a structural nightmare and a logistical nightmare because you have the entire bottom part, the concrete part of the bridge, and you don't know the extent of the structural damage to that, and you won't know it until you pull all of that infrastructure out of there and you get to look at it. And I believe now I also have, beginning of the next one, Natural News, March 28th, Richard Brown, Baltimore bridge ship crash, fatalities, 2 confirmed dead, 4 still missing. All crew members of the ill-fated cargo ship that collided with and caused the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore early Tuesday, March 26th, have been located and found unharmed. And then we move on to talk about the construction crew suffering casualties, and Lou gave you the update on that. Back to the article. Baltimore police said Wednesday, March 27th, they had found the bodies of the two, leaving 4 individuals still missing. They talked again in this article about the crucial role that bridge played. It would devastate the entire area, the eastern coast. Baltimore Harbor pilots were reportedly directing the vessel at the time of the crash, as per customary practice during port or canal entries. However, radio transmissions from emergency responders indicated difficulties in steering the ship shortly after the collision, highlighting potential challenges faced by the crew. Coast Guard halts search and rescue operation for missing individuals.
And we have from Natural News, March 28th, by Ethan Huff. General Flynn calls Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse a black swan event. I wasn't sure what that meant, so I looked it up, and it means a sudden, unexpected event with major consequences. Well, I think that certainly fits. The container ship that crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge on March 26th unleashed the black swan event that many have been anticipating, according to General Michael Flynn. On the Network X, Flynn expressed his belief that the bridge's collapse substantiates what some have been warning would soon take place over the past several months. Flynn wrote, "This is a black swan event," and he wrote it in all capital letters on his social media page. He went on to say, "Black swans normally come out of the world of finance, not military. The standard operating procedures for all U.S. ports, harbors, and bays that transmit commerce and military activities are supposed to maintain an incredible level of discipline, rigor, and awareness for these very type events to not occur, ever. Yet, here we are," unquote. Flynn went on in his social media rant to call on investigators to look at all of the harbor masters who oversee transit points, such as the one in Baltimore, where the container ship apparently went adrift and crashed right into the Strategic Key Bridge, as it is also called. "There are harbor masters for every single one of these transit points," and I should mention, this is the quote here, "There are harbor masters for every single one of these transit points in America that are in charge of assuring the safety of navigation. Begin there," unquote. And it mentions a related article, the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, so-called pandemic, was another black swan event that, in time, still has the potential to collapse just about everything.
And we must interject there, Lou, this is Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly,
yes,
that we detail that in our book, COVID and Coming Chaos. And we do hope that God will lead you to write a simple note to us. Please send us your book and send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, because we do get into a lot of the sabotage later in the book, things that are happening, the fires at Maui, and the food production facilities being blown up or set afire in 2022. It's an amazing number. We have so much important information in that book. You don't want to be without it. If you can put a $5 bill or five ones or three ones into your envelope, that'll be fine. If you can't, we do want you to have the book. Do not worry about putting any money into it. Yes, we can see, you know, we report on this program frequently, the obituaries of people maybe in their 20s, maybe in their 40s, maybe in their 50s, black and white, that they drop dead suddenly. It's still happening. The depopulation of that COVID shot is still going on. And so you won't hear news like this anywhere else from a Christian viewpoint. And if you would like to help us, please send something to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Pick up the rest of the story of the Dally.
Yes. Michael Flynn also shared video footage showing that in the moments leading up to its impact with one of the Key Bridge pylons, the Dally container ship bearing a Singaporean flag suffered a power outage.
And just remember, that flag is something similar to the eclipse.
Yes,
people.
That's quite a coincidence,
solar eclipse,
isn't it?
Yes.
And Michael Flynn also said, "Worth watching. Too many things went wrong all at once." Alex Jones of InfoWars also commented on the incident, stating that he believes it appears deliberate and that a, quote, "cyber attack is probable," unquote. He went on to say, ominously, "World War III has already begun." Andrew Tate wrote that he believes the ship running into the pylon is simply the precursor to a black swan event that he described as imminent. And he wrote, "Foreign agents of the U.S., I think he meant in the U.S., attack digital infrastructures. Nothing is safe."
He might have meant of. Foreign agents of would mean people installed in our government who are traitors.
That could be too, very much so. And let's see, one commenter wrote, quote, "When the power comes back on, there is a massive amount of machinery to restart before the main engine can be restarted." And the commenter wrote that, claiming to be a retired senior engineering officer who knows how these things work. And I believe this is also part of his quote, "I'm baffled by the loss of power. Usual procedure is to run extra generators, steering gear, pumps, etc., while on standby to prevent a situation like this from occurring."
And then we have Ethan Huff again, March 28th, at Natural News. Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse and, quote, "absolutely brilliant strategic attack," says multiple intel sources. Multiple intelligence sources are saying that the container ship incident at Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore was an absolutely brilliant strategic attack on critical United States infrastructure and right at the Mason-Dixon line, just like the Civil War. Investigative journalist Lara Logan wrote on X that the Francis Scott Key Bridge, also known as the Key Bridge, is the second busiest strategic roadway in the country for transporting hazardous materials, having been strategically designed for such a purpose. It is being said that rebuilding the bridge to appropriate standards will take 4 to 5 years, which means this strategic artery will no longer be accessible for transporting things like unleaded fuel, diesel, propane gas, nitrogen, and highly flammable materials and chemicals.
Let me finish that sentence.
With oversized cargo that cannot fit through roadway tunnels in the area.
I mentioned the tunnels. But hazardous materials are prohibited in that tunnels because that could become a terrible disaster.
Yes, very interesting.
Which means that those going up and down the I-95 corridor on the eastern USA cannot go through those tunnels. They have to go the long way around on the Baltimore Beltway.
Again, so and you'd agree then with what Logan wrote, that supply chain is now crippled.
Yes.
That's certainly crippling.
Very
related.
So.
Now, here's Ethan Huff's related article. "Once World War III gets into full swing, extreme food rationing will follow. America, a free fall roller coaster." And listeners, if we don't quite finish this, you know that tomorrow night on our Thursday program, we will be having a little bit more on the bridge, and we will be getting into some very interesting things about the coming eclipse. Some very, very, very interesting connections, some esoteric things, some things that are highly unusual in the heavens. Is this a sign of coming judgment for all this depravity? We will find out. But back now to Ethan Huff's writing. "The two most critical components of the Key Bridge are the load-bearing pylons." Now, we talked about that. I think we'll skip over that, how important those pylons were. We'll just move right on there. Well, this is important, though, that because probably with those pylons being struck, it is more than likely that the entire bridge will need to be completely rebuilt. This is a major feat and one that will take a bit of time. Logan says that structural destruction of the bridge is likely absolute, and that the attack, as she is calling it, was, quote, "perfectly targeted." "They have figured out how to bring us down," she further writes in quotes. "As long as you stay away from the teeth of the U.S. military, you can pick the U.S. apart. We are arrogant and ignorant, lethal combination. Obama said they would fundamentally change America, and they did. We are in a free-fall ride on a roller coaster right now. No brakes, just picking up speed." Those were all Lara Logan's words. Sped-up footage of the incident, which you can watch below, pretty much shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was no accident. And now, of course, this is at Natural News, if you were to go look for that video. And that the container ship was directed to hit one of the bridge's key pylons. As you will notice, the cargo ship never even got into the approach lane in the channel, which is an absolute must for it to make that turn correctly without a collision. The location of impact, Logan says, was precise and deliberate. She also criticizes the fact that there was no harbor pilot to pilot the boat, though X is claiming that there were actually two harbor pilots present at the time of impact. Quote, "They chose a full moon," and again, this is Logan, "they chose a full moon so they would have maximum tidal shift, rise and fall." Logan further writes, "Brisk flow in that river on a normal day, and have had a lot of rain recently, so water was already moving along at a good pace. All these factors, when you look at it, This is how you teach people how to do this type of attack. And there are so few people left in this system who know this. We have a junior varsity team on the field. End of quote. And, of course, they say there the latest news about America under attack can be found at WW3 News.
We have from Zero Hedge, huge problem. Pentagon's rapid wartime response cargo ships trapped in Baltimore after the bridge collapse. This is by Tyler Durden, March 29th.
And we've got about 4 minutes.
Yes, so we'll get the highlights. Using the Automatic Identification System, or AIS, data that tracks commercial vessels, 3 bulk carriers, 2 general cargo ships, 1 vehicle carrier, 1 tanker, and 4 Ready Reserve Force Vessels, RRFs, along with the container ship dolly that struck the bridge, are trapped in the harbor.
We'd better get everything that's marked on there, Lou. I think we have time.
Okay, and that's according to the ship's blog, shipping blog, G Captain. And we have some more. The U.S. Maritime Administration, MARAD, MARAD, Ready Reserve Force Vessels include the Cape Washington, the Cape W class, roll-on, roll-off vessel. The Gary Gordon, a Gordon-class roll-on, roll-off vessel. The SS Antares, an Elgol-class fast sealift vehicle cargo ship. The SS Dinabolo, another Elgol-class fast sealift vehicle cargo ship. According to the military blog The War Zone, Elgol-class vessels are, quote, some of the fastest cargo vessels of their general size anywhere in the world. These ships are part of the RRF, a subset of vessels within MARAD's National Defense Reserve Fleet, NDRF, that provides surge sealift capability to the Pentagon for overseas conflicts. TWZ said the activation process for RRF vessels takes about 5 to 10 days. The vessels are operated with a skeleton crew until called upon. And the RRF are stationed at major marine ports around the U.S.
And we've looked at this and we realized that we weren't in a war right now, not yet, overseas. But was this a drill, too? We wondered that, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Was this a drill?
Yeah.
Trying to hamper these vital ships and to see how it all worked out. Little exercises, little tabletop exercises like they did with event 201 before COVID was sprung on the world. Yes, we have to question everything. Rahm Emanuel, you just don't let a crisis go to waste. You get everything out of it. You milk all the tentacles of Medusa, all of those snake-like tentacles. Well, we'll be back tomorrow night and tell others to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com to save their lives. Good night.